Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art Beats and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
In 2022, Team Milk came together by sponsoring female marathon runners for the marathon in New York City. Today, they're more than 20,000 strong. In 2024, Team Milk is making an even bigger commitment to female runners and launching the only women's marathon in the U.S., designed for and by women. The inaugural Every Woman's Marathon will take place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16, 2024. You can learn more and register for the marathon at everywomansmarathon.com.
Okay, now we're making another tape, January 23rd, in the great year 1977, Sophia. And what we're here to do is we're going to let Sophia Coppola, who is standing here, how old are you, Sophia?
Five.
You're 5 years old? Mm-hmm. And Sophia's going to talk a little bit. Now, Sophia, you know who I want you to talk to? I want you to talk to a make-believe person, can you?
Who's the make-believe person?
Her name is Sophia, and she's a big lady now. She's a grown-up lady. And so you talk to the grown-up lady. You talk to you when you're a big lady, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Francis Ford Coppola, recording his daughter, Sophia Coppola, in 1977.
Fishy, you know, and I swim in the water, and I have two brothers that are fishies. One is named Jim, one is named Roman, and my name is Sophia. And my cousins are fishies too. And one of my cousins are named Nikki, and one is named Christopher, and one is named Mark, and one is named Matthew, and there's another Matthew in our family. So,
what do you think you're going to be like when you're a big girl?
Well, I can make believe what I want to be like.
Tell me what you want to be like.
Well, I want...
Bye, you guys.
1 second, we'll wait for Mommy. Say hello. This is a recording for posterity where Sophia is telling herself, grown up, what she wants to be like.
Oh, terrific. Well, I want to hear that tape when you're finished. That's great. Well, you're terrific. At 5 and a half, you're super, superwoman.
I am Sophia, and when I grow up, I want to... be middle size, not fat and not skinny. And I want to be a teacher. Or maybe I might be a nurse. And I like being Sophia because there's a lot of fun things that I know how to do. And my daddy just tickled me with his little nose.
I want to tell Sophia something. When you recently, when we were making Apocalypse Now, we were in the Philippines, right? And Sophia learned how to do some things. And I want you to do something for me. Well, first, I want you to sing the Philippine National Anthem. Go.
Baya Magilu, Bernasina Malam, Alam Namposa, Sadadi Moy Buhay, Lupangilira. Inanamang magiti samantulupi di kapasisihin. Today my daddy gave me an Oscar necklace.
Were you happy when I gave it to you? Are you going to try not to lose it so when you're a big girl you can keep it? Okay. This Oscar is for, let me see what it says. It says, for The Godfather, 72. So that must have been for the script of The Godfather. Okay, you want to say goodbye to yourself, and you'll talk some more some other time.
Okay.
Say goodbye, Sophia. I'll talk to you again some other time.
Goodbye. I'm gonna go to bed now, 'cause I'm so sleepy.
Today, Lost and Found Sound. Home recordings, people recording their friends, neighbors, strangers, for a look at how we live and who we are by listening closely. Lost and Found Sound is the work of two women in California, Nikki Silva and Davia Nelson, also known as the Kitchen Sisters. No one makes radio like the Kitchen Sisters. As Tom Waits put it, Lost and Found Sound is beyond description. Davia Nelson once said, "There's something about sound, just in the atmosphere, the intangibility of it, and the imagination of it, the long stuff, and stuff that lets you travel in your mind." I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is Love.
Oral history is what first brought the Kitchen Sisters together.
Here's Nikki Silva.
We've spent our first few years working together, roaming our region, interviewing ranchers and fishermen and rodeo riders, beauty pageant contestants, surfers, Italian grandmothers. The first time Davia and I headed out to do an oral history together, it was a disaster. We kept dropping the mic, fumbling with the 20-foot cord. I have no idea why we thought we needed a 20-foot cord. It was painful. So oral history, it's still the way we work, interviewing people for hours and hours. And we're always on the hunt for oral histories that other people have done, others possessed by the need to capture history and life through sound. That brings us to Eddie McCoy of Oxford, North Carolina, a tobacco town of some 10,000 people, located 50 miles north of Raleigh. Eddie began recording the life and lore of his town on a scavenged cassette recorder. A self-made historian, Eddie records the who, what, when, where, and why, and so much more of his hometown. Today's story produced with Lita Hartman, A Man Tapes His Town, the unrelenting oral histories of Eddie McCoy.
Let me ask you a question. Why did Oxford grow? What happened over there? You know, why did people come to Oxford? I want to know about what took place.
I'm curious.
Why did they?
I'm nosy.
What happened over there?
That's what oral history and interviews is. So you got it. Your mind got to go to work. You know what you want, but you got to figure out how to get it.
You ask one thing, they come out with another thing. You got to come back with another thing. A little surprises. It's fascinating what they'll tell you. You don't ever know what's going to hit you. A lady told me, said, "I know a man that's 110 and ride a bicycle." I said, "Go talk to him." And I said, "Okay."
I'm Eddie McCoy. This morning I'm out at Mr. Harris.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out at Mr. Harris. What's your first name, Mr. Harris?
Matt Harris.
I'm out at Mr. Matt Harris. Mr. Matt Harris, how old are you?
110 years old.
110 years old. Do you know what year, what month you was born in?
I'm James Eddie McCoy. I've been messing with this stuff ever since 1979. I interviewed over 140 people. I got about 150 tapes.
What I want you to tell me this morning is, tell me about the history of your life, and we're going to talk about the history of Oxford and what you remember and the changes. And tell me if we can start with you and your brother and your father.
Hope put the first concrete in Oxford.
You put the first concrete?
Concrete in Oxford.
Where was this at?
I said, I hope put the first concrete in Oxford.
The first concrete?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I was born in Grammar County, Oxford, April the 1st, 1942. Oxford was a quiet community. Wasn't anything exciting here. Just train come by twice a day. Practically everybody lived in shotgun houses. No paint on them. A dirt yard, got old rugs on the floor, linoleums. You can pull up the linoleum and got cracks in the floors. You can feed the chickens and punch food through the floor. It's hot as the devil in the summertime and cold as the devil in the wintertime.
Today, Mrs. Davis and I will be talking about this era she was raised up in.
I was born in Granville County right over the year of 1906. We got life in this area. 1947.
Okay, because in Oxford on another side was 1950.
Yeah, we got 1947. George Patterson, all of us on this roof, good life.
Let me ask you, what happened when you got the washing machine?
Now, Lord, that was the best
thing. Tell me that.
Lord, that was overwhelming.
And got rid of all that blue in the water.
My name is David Soselsky. I'm a historian at the Southern Oral History Program at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And that's how I stumbled onto Eddie McCoy's work.
What about coin shuckers and stuff like
that? Oh, no, that was a good time.
He's interviewed the janitors and the African-American teachers and the railroad workers and the tenant farmers and sharecroppers, the black physicians, just anybody and everybody.
Oh, everybody come around, and mom and them would cook the best food and never see so much food.
Now, I want you to explain to young people that will be listening to your work.
Here at the Southern Oral History Program, we have, I think, the largest collection in the South. It's incredibly diverse, done by hundreds of interviewers. But Eddie's is distinctive in a way that I've never seen before. And in my eyes, it had to do with kind of who Eddie is and what he brings to it.
Well, you're a school teacher. Tell me why we can't do it now. You've been around.
I just don't know.
I was in a wreck. I messed up all my muscles and nerves in my back and neck. And I couldn't do anything. And I lost a lot of my business and everything. Janitorial business. 35 people working for me. I couldn't take that. Could you imagine that? I've been doing that all my life. I went to a doctor, referred me to a psychiatrist, and he asked me, what could I do? And I told him I couldn't do nothing. He said, can you use your head? I said, no, I can't use my head. What if I use my head? Probably never use my head. I always use my hands. What you do part-time? You ever done anything, use your head? I said, I mess around with books. I mess around with research. I've done stuff like that, bummed around with it. He said, why don't you do it? I started going to the library. I joined a genealogy class and started working from there. May the 1st, 1995.
June.
I'm James Eddie McCoy. Time is 6 o'clock. I'm visiting with Mrs. Lucy Jones, 520 Hancock Street. What year was you born?
1915, June 14. I ain't never been married once in my life.
Oh, yeah?
One time.
That's good.
I hurt nobody's feeling. If I can't help you, I don't hurt you.
Me too.
I love people. Did you know there's a lot of white people in town that will mistreat you and don't mean it? Did you know it?
Uh-uh. And don't mean it?
Yeah.
What?
They have to do it to stay white.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got something like that. Yeah.
See?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Uh-huh. When I started messing with research, I thought you had to have a master's degree, a doctor's degree, or finish college. I did. I came up in the street. If you come up in the street, you learn all walks of people, how they tick.
Eddie served in the Army. He learned how to fight. He hung out at the Soul Food Cafe, which was that was kind of the hangout for the civil rights movement in Oxford. This is not the background that most of the historians out there listening to the Forgotten Voices of the South have.
It's like fortune teller. Listen to stories that people tell you what they did. That's all fortune teller is. It's putting together, it's kind of using skills, it's reading people.
Okay, what's your name? Tell me your name first.
My name is Novella. Now, my daddy, he was a baby, he said. His daddy went and cut his hand off because he didn't want to be sold.
Where?
Cut his hand off, keep him being sold. That was slavery time, I'm telling you.
And he didn't die?
No.
They stopped the bleeding.
He was sold. His daddy was sold.
When Eddie McCoy calls, people know exactly who they're talking to, and they're going to talk to Eddie like they won't talk to anybody else. They also know what he did in the civil rights movement. They've at least heard tell of it.
Fresh memories to me. You is one of us. Did you know it?
I've been around. Yeah.
You is one of us.
Yeah, I've been around this family a long time.
Eddie was a leader in the civil rights movement in Oxford. And I'm not talking about just nice, peaceful marches down through the streets of Oxford. I mean, he did those things too, and sit-ins. It was a very violent civil rights movement that they had in Oxford. A lot of Klan, a lot of white terrorism. The African-American people in Oxford did not just sit down and take that.
Well, the community roused up and they started burning the town down. It was tough around here for about 2 or 3 months. I don't care what nobody said. You got to have violence. Martin Luther King was fine. I wouldn't have followed him nowhere. Anything threaten your livelihood, you're going to react. You got to show them. They're from Missouri. That's the way you get their attention. In the civil rights movement, you got to hit them.
Eddie came through all that. He becomes a successful businessman, city councilor, first African-American elected to the county commission. in Granville County. Eddie got some college, but by and large, he's really a completely self-trained historian.
You know why they call Brown's
Corner? No, where's Brown Corner at?
One of the oldest buildings in town, all I can tell you. It's called a place that they call Brown's Corner.
Was that where all the blacks used to hang out at
that's
and talk?
Right, that's right.
Brown's Corner.
That's right.
And that's where everybody used to stand.
That's right.
And people still stand there now.
All right.
And the well was right in the center of the street.
That's, right.
That's where the horse well
that's
was.
Right.
Oh, y'all had a good time on that corner, didn't you?
Yeah.
All these books, I've been through the library and done research on the whole county, all the churches in the county. I went through and tried to pick, get all the books, all these boxes. Here's research out of county government buildings, city buildings and all that. This box here, this contained everybody that went to jail from about 1953 up to 1960. I wish I could get the book before that. Everybody that went downtown to jail. I tried to look for my parents' families before I got into this. And I would go to Virginia, go down to Morris County, North Carolina, and look around. And I just couldn't ever get anywhere. My father was an orphanage boy here in town. My mother was adopted, and she don't know anything about her family. She was hauled around with different people. People in my genealogy class said that's why I got so interested in researches, because I couldn't do anything with my family. I wanted to probe, and I started doing it with other people. And I didn't pick families. I do the history of Granville County, so that gave me an avenue into everybody's family.
Mrs. Harris, what was the farm and plantation you was born on?
Cheatham, Tom Cheatham.
Tom Cheatham.
Uh-huh.
How old are you, Mrs. Harris?
I am 89 years old.
89?
89. I don't tell you about my age because it's none of our business.
Oh, I won't reveal
it. All right then. I was born 18 and 92. The women had those white babies. They could not help themselves because the master made them do it. But you don't have to put that down there.
When the black women had the babies for the white men.
Yeah, don't you put that down there. I won't
know. That's not fair to me.
Yes, it is. It's fair to me. I don't know.
Imagine Oxford and Granville County as a place where it's poor. It's a lot of small communities that are withering away. The young people, particularly young African-American people, can't stay. They're moving off to cities. And here, Eddie McCoy, who's lived in town all his life, is coming and cares about what they lived through, cares enough to sit down and visit.
I sat to think. I said, now, what is I'm doing to live the long and average man? What have I did to do that?
If you collect your information now and your resources now and put it away in 50 or 30 years, somebody going to come back and want this stuff. And then that's what to be gained. Collect your stuff now. That's what happened with slavery. We waited too late to get the best part of it.
Now, where are you taking all this mess for?
We having fun talking about the old days,
yeah,
you and I.
That is true. I hadn't thought of it like that.
Raining, we ain't got nothing else to do but sit around and talk about what...
We lost our history. They want to talk about the future. How can you go to the future without the past? That's why I want to do it. Don't wait too late.
Everything seemed like a dream to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so long.
Uh-huh.
Did you always go to church?
John, what do I do now? Patti Smith and Judy Lynn.
Well, I'm Judy Lynn. I'm a photographer. I've just published this book, Photographs of Patti Smith, 1969 to 1976.
Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine.
Patti and I met because we were both in Brooklyn. We met through our boyfriends, Peter Barnowski and Robert Mapplethorpe. We went to Patti and Robert's apartment. Patti was in the kitchen cooking spaghetti sauce, and she didn't really talk to us. And Robert showed us drawings he had done. He'd been at Coney Island that day, and he'd taken off this kind of huge piece of skin from his sunburn. He was going to use it in a drawing. We were all admiring this huge piece of skin that he'd peeled off.
Is it okay if I take my shoes and socks off? It'll be real neat. Then I can show you the anklet bracelet I got on that says Brian Jones, and I always wear it.
I found a cassette Patty and I made in 1969. We were making an 8mm movie in my tenement apartment in Brooklyn. And unfortunately, I lost the movie, but I did somehow save this tape she made.
All right, what do you want me to do?
Look at me. Turn around and go back and look at the wall again.
Oh, okay. Are these clothes okay? Well, I mean, do you want me to put anything special on or ugly on?
I graduated from art school in 1969, and the idea of getting out of school had never dawned on me, so I was completely lost.
I'm getting used to holding the camera.
Yeah. You really study with it.
I began photographing Patti Smith because I was taking photographs of everything. And when Patti and I would get together, we would take photographs.
Lay, lady, lay. Lay across my big breast bed.
I remember the first time we heard Bob Dylan sing Lay, Lady, Lay on the radio, we held hands and screamed.
Lay, lady, lay.
And I had never done that before with anybody. Somehow with Patty, you could be that enthusiastic and silly about something.
Okay, like the reason like my foot's moving like that is because Mick Jagger's on. My name is Patti Smith, and I was born December 30th in Chicago, Illinois. And I was born 6:04 in the morning. People like I hold tribute to, I was like Sonia Henie. I used to like de Kooning. I still like Sag Harbor Woman. Most of all, I like the Rolling Stones. I'm sorry Brian Jones died. Is it okay to come down?
These were photographs in my apartment on Myrtle Avenue. Patty kind of did the set decoration. On the wall are Patty's shoe and sock, a saw, her scarf.
Doesn't my shoe and sock look neat hanging up there?
She's wearing black underpants, a flesh-colored brassiere, some string wrapped around her ankle and string wrapped around her wrist. I really felt like I was shooting for fashion magazines, but I never would have had the guts to show them to anyone.
Put the radio on again.
One of the first times I went to Patty's apartment, she had these little kind of pink acrobat pants, and she put on the pants, and we were taking pictures, and she took her shirt off. It wasn't a big deal. I really think she kind of knew what a more interesting photograph was than I did. The picture on page 7 is of Patty's knees in black tights. Just thought she had such great-looking knees. The photographs with Sam Shepard came about because Patty called me up and she said, I want you to come take pictures of Sam and me. I think it was a really important relationship, and I think she knew it wasn't going to last. It was really a kind of a fleeting moment. He was barefoot. We walked from 23rd Street down to Greenwich Village. She would lie down on the street. He would pick her up. I mean, they were so enraptured with each other.
Just don't know what to do tonight. My head is aching.
I like this because, like, we both, like, appreciate minimal movement. Let's step on this because my feet are getting cold.
What?
Feet are getting cold.
I like the picture of Patty putting the eyeliner on. It's like she's sticking a pencil in her eye. And I like the idea of, like, drawing with your eye. It's kind of being looked at and seeing at the same time.
I didn't zoom in on it, you know?
These were photographs for the Radio Ethiopia album cover. She had convinced the young Getty heir to buy her this walkie-talkie, and she said she needed it to be on the record cover. I think we were trying to do kind of a film noir, you know, like the police are outside, the guy in the raincoat in the rain is out there watching you, hanging out under the streetlight. We both really enjoyed movies. One time we went to see Jacques Rivette's La Religieuse with Anna Karenina as a nun. And we acted out the movie in the bathroom in the movie theater.
Jimmy?
I mean, we didn't even get home to do it.
Yeah, you know, like I don't like about the new filmmakers is like they love like total chaos. Like the neatest section of the whole film was when like this guy Jean-Paul Leluc or something like that, Jean-Claude, had to look real bored while I was like taking off my blouse. I did it really angular, you know. It was like so beautiful, and the guy forgot to put the film in the camera. You know, it was just lost.
I think that We Could Do This was really about being kids and playing dress up and playing, oh, look, I can be a princess. Oh, look, I can be a Godard heroine. And by taking a photograph and isolating things, it could look like it was more than it actually was. We weren't really dreaming a future. We were dreaming a present.
Want to try one in color?
Yeah.
All these films will be like a story.
I'd love to be a rock and roll star.
Huh?
The genius to be a rock and roll star. I wonder what's happening with the tape recorder.
Are you recording stuff?
Yeah, I'm recording everything.
Listening to a river, watching it rise. Tattoo fingers shy away from me.
Support for This Is Love comes from Shopify. If you've ever had a dream of starting your own business, Shopify can be a great place to start. Shopify is an online platform that lets you sell things online and in person, and makes it incredibly easy to accept all kinds of different payment methods, figure out how to charge taxes, how to charge shipping, and get detailed top-down views on how your sales are going. Some of your favorite brands already rely on Shopify to power their online shops, like Rothy's, Brooklinen, and Allbirds. But you don't need to be well-established to use Shopify. They'll help you at every stage of your business and have tools to help people who are just starting out, like their AI-powered tool, Shopify Magic, or their built-in marketing tools that can help you create and analyze campaigns. Shopify grows with your business, no matter how far or big you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/thisislove, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/thisislove now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/thisislove. Support for This Is Love comes from Quince. Lately, I've been less interested in having a lot of clothes and more interested in having fewer things that are well-made and will last me a long time. Quince offers well-made clothing like corduroy pants, 100% organic cotton fisherman crew sweaters, and really beautiful cashmere at a more reasonable price. Quince's items cost 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They partner directly with top factories and, according to Quince, only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. One of the things I got was a denim button-down shirt that has hundreds of great reviews. It comes in denim and chambray, feels very soft, and looks great. I also ordered their best-selling cashmere trouser sock in a few colors and even gave a pair to my mother. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/thisislove for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/thisislove to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/thisislove. We have one more piece of lost and found sound from the Kitchen Sisters to share with you. French Manicure, Tales from Vietnamese Shops in America.
Bàn tay.
The hand.
Chân.
The foot.
Thanh lịch, tao nhã.
Elegant.
Good morning, sweetie. This is a freshman class. Okay, that's the beginning of the school. I have to explain everybody how to use your tools, what is the chemicals, and the creams and the acetone, and I'm going to explain the whole thing at this time. My name is Maria Elena Alvarado. We are in Hilltop Beauty School in Daly City at the top of the hill. Welcome to the world of cosmetology, honey. Your lab coat, darling, please. Your page is 419. Who can defy what I mean the word is manicure?
Latin for Latin word.
You're right. It's a manus and cure, the care of the hands and nails. The majority here is an immigrant. the majority. A lot of Vietnamese is in the school. They take a class for the just for manicure. The Vietnamese, they have something in your hands. Don't tell me why. Every time they touch your hands, you can feel. It's something special in her hands.
Nhà, chỗ ở.
The home.
Cảm giác.
The feeling.
Âm thanh.
The sound.
I am a lineman for the county.
I left Vietnam in 1972. I listened to the radio when I was in high school. I was still in Vietnam that time. I lost a U.S. troop during the Vietnam War. I really love the song, you know, played by Glenn Campbell, Wichita Lineman, and all the songs from Bee Gees, from Beatles, Rolling Stone. I love. When I was young, I heard a song, you know, California Dream. I thought, wow, San Francisco, everybody wearing their flower in their hair. I make my wish. When I grow up, I like to come to the United States. I like to live in San Francisco. See, I can get flower on my hair. That's the California Dreaming, the song. But when I come here in 1979, oh, it is hard. I have no relative, just like a couple friends, they help me. I'm not able to be speaking very, very well. So every day when I'm driving, I put a tape in my radio so I'm listening.
Fancy nails in Berkeley?
Oh, Lisa, this is May Lisa, the owner of the Fancy Nail. Yeah, okay, so I will see you at 1:30. Thank you, bye-bye. When you come to the country here, the easy way to be get a job is going to the nail salon. That's why the population from Vietnam, they all do nail business.
See, like for example, boy, he's a car mechanic. When he immigrant to here,
and then he don't know what did he do. And then he go to a beauty school to learn how to do manicure because that's only required for 3 months in school. So he changed his career totally from a car mechanic to holding a woman's hand. And he's good. All my girls, they still, you know, speaking their language most of the time. But I'm very fortunate that all my clients here, they understand, they really don't mind when the girl not speaking English.
Đánh bóng.
To polish.
Chiếu.
To shine.
Trả tiền mặt.
To pay cash.
You want a manicure, pedicure? Okay. Hi, how are you? What do you need done today? Do you want a pedicure? Oh, he only like French?
Yeah.
Oh. French is you paint the white color on the tips, and then you polish the pink over. That's what they call the French, you know. I don't know where they come up with that name.
Yeah, I think the French manicure is created in L.A. before I come to the business. In France, they don't do French manicure. They don't. Even I have a client from France. I asked her, do you know French manicure? Is it from your country? They have no idea. They don't know.
Many of our nail art techniques are connected to Vietnam. It's a highly pampering art, and it's a very demanding discipline.
My name is Lynette Mano. I teach at Hilltop Beauty School.
Many of the best artists that we have in this area are connected to Vietnam. They're training because their mother has a salon, their sister has a salon, their aunt or their uncle, and it's been something that's just family operated, and people recruit into it as they become old enough. It's something that's promoted in those Vietnamese communities.
Golden Keys Mirroring Service, Trung tâm Bảo hiểm Du lịch Khai thuế do cô Nguyễn Minh Tâm phụ trách.
Cuộc du lịch bằng đường biển.
The voyage.
Chiếc tàu, chiếc thuyền.
The boat.
Con gái.
The daughter.
I went to school for manicures. I worked in this shop almost 4 years. I came here in 1983, just by myself. about 14. I escaped it by boat to Thailand, to Philippines, and then came here. Supposed to be a whole family come together, but we separate to small groups, but some make it, some didn't make it, get caught by the communists. We separate. And I was wondering, I asked, where's my mom? Where's my mom? The owner said, she will be here, she will be here. Gone. 2 days and two nights on the ocean. Nothing's in my stomach. A lot of people die on the ocean. The first month when I come here, I wasn't in the general hospital. Sick, like homesick. Strange. Unhappy. By myself. Don't know where to go, don't know what to do. Like a dream, just like a story. Like you cannot imagination, you cannot think about it, but it happened.
I've thrown away my toys.
I live with a foster parent. I have my own room and the TV, she let me have it. Usually I watch a lot of Shirley Temple. I like Shirley Temple a lot. I watch a lot of her movie. She's happy. She's dancing top with, you know, a black guy. And she's very pretty lady. The way she act when she was a little girl, a lot of her movie I'm watching. She's very famous, yes.
On the good ship, lollipop, it's a sweet trip.
When I become U.S. citizen, I chance directly to Shirley Nguyen. My Vietnamese name Kalik, difficult to pronounce, Hang, H-A-N-G, so I changed to Shirley. My life is changed. I should change my name too, because I live in the United States.
In your guide to United States citizenship is the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. Please read at your leisure these two documents in order to gain a greater understanding of how the United States became as great as it is today. Now please repeat after me the Star Spangled Banner. Oh say, can you see?
My name is Lang Tu, and I am student in Beauty College Evergreen.
What so proudly we
Miền Đông đó khi nghe xuân san có nhớ em không? Vietnamese song usually have a sad story. The song for a long time ago have a lot of meaning. When somebody singing, you listen, you feel too. You gotta have a story inside song. Our country have a lot of people separate and say bye-bye and goodbye forever, you know. So we know exactly how about somebody feeling. I moved in America, and I and my two children and my mom. I still one daughter, 15 years in Vietnam. And I really don't want to leave my daughter. Every time I sing this song, my feeling come up. But now I change because I have a good life with my husband. He's American. And my husband, he sponsored her come to America. We got paper already. He take care of me very good, and he do love me, and he really want me to go to school, and he helped me have a license. I don't want success on anymore.
Lòng mẹ bão la như biển Thái Bình, dào dào.
Lòng mẹ, it's a song that I think really strikes to the heart of all Vietnamese. The opening line is, mother's love is as wide as the Pacific Ocean. It was very popular in South Vietnam. Here it's sung by a singer named Thanh Thuy, who now lives in San Fernando Valley. I'm Jason Gibbs, librarian at the San Francisco Public Library.
My name is Adelaida Reyes. I have written a book about music of the Vietnamese refugee experience. After the fall of Saigon in 1975, there were rules about what songs may or may not be sung. And many of the songs that were forbidden were precisely the sad songs and the love songs. These songs contain a lot of historical, personal truths. over the 100 years that they had been at war, there is hardly a family that has not suffered the loss of a member.
Thousands of Vietnamese left the country to live in countries all over the world, and they bring this music with them. It holds together their memory of a time and a place that they still long for, a time and a place that can never come back.
Take the ribbon from my hair, take it loose and lay fall. Let summer against your skin, like the shadow on the wall. Come and lay down by my side till the early morning light. All I'm taking is your time. Help me make it to the night.
Sự hạnh phúc.
The happiness.
Đỏ.
Red.
The Buddha that we keep in the shop is for lucky Buddha, bringing business come in. The outer, you know, we have a Buddha inside. It keeps the shop in peaceful safety.
You know, every day we'll give him new water, sometimes coffee, candies, any kind, and we change it every day. And once a while we give him a cigarette. So sometimes we light up the cigarette and give it to him. So we want to make sure he's happy.
The second day of the month, we give a Buddha, you know, like more fruit on the lunar. Because that is a once a month special day, like the payday. Because Buddha bring us so much business, we give Buddha chicken or duck or roast pork, barbecue, bun. But enough, we eat the food. Would I enjoy it?
My name is Janet Dang. I work for Asian Week newspaper. Hard numbers aren't available, but according to Nails magazine, they peg the manicure market at $6.5 billion a year. And half of the market is comprised of the Vietnamese American salon owners, technicians, or manicurists.
What do you need, Jane?
Oh, okay.
This job, I like it. Like to communicate with people, but just temporary right now. I allergic to the chemical polish remover. I'm studying MA medical assistant right now.
My name is Helen. I don't have experience to work in the office. You know, with my age, nobody hired me. Because now I am 55 years already. At least I must have one professional job. So I hear in the United States, you know, the nail is easy for the people, you know.
It's sore. Be careful.
Okay.
So they're a mess.
Sometimes the client very, very fussy.
There's no nail.
They give you hard time. They are now in a bad condition. Sometimes you even don't want to give the service. You will feel very stressed. I don't want to be touched. You pick up their attitude. I mean, their bad mood give it to you. Even you get the jobs done, but it's a lousy.
They are American. They really care for their nail. Always 12 months, it's 12 holiday, you know. Mother's Day, Father's Day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year, you know. Valentine's Day, birthday, July 4, whatever. Just big time, party hardy. Updo, manicure, pedicure, money time. My name is Nhung Tran, and I live in San Jose. I'm from Vietnam with my whole family. Saigon is our city. I grew up on there. It's very busy. People, you know, do the business on the street selling a little stuff, flour, ice cream, and noodle. They just say out loud what they sell, and people can negotiate, you know, just like the flea market. Everything happens on the street. All the door wide open. Over here, different. Every door closed. People just live by themselves, you know. It's so quiet over here. At first, it's really hard, but I adapt with the environment now. I used to work at IBM before, but I got laid off, so here I am. I study cosmetology. I work so hard, and I play very hard, too. go to the club every weekend and singing karaoke with friends, have a good time. My boyfriend is a good singer. He can play the guitar very well. He's Elvis impersonator. He's Spanish. He good. His name is Jesse Nava. I love you, baby. In Vietnamese club, they play both Vietnamese and American. I really like French music. But the music I like the most is rock and roll.
Ông có thể nói chậm không?
Can you speak slowly?
Cấm hút thuốc.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm MC for the group of a student graduate today.
Right now there's about 18 manicure students. Today we're going to graduate 7 or 8 of them. They're 99% Vietnamese. We're at the Hayward Nail Care Center. My name is Alan Cox. I'm the director of the school. My father started this business in 1958. At that time, manicuring was not a trendy thing like it is now. Here's what it used to be. When we had a few manicurists, it was Madge and Jane, you know, the blondes. Madge and Jane are pretty much gone. These students go everywhere. They go to Chicago, they go to Detroit, they go down south, they go to Texas, they go everywhere to Vietnamese communities. Because a lot of these students are brand new to America. And all of a sudden, 10 weeks, and they can get a license and they can be in the job market.
And now we have a special guest. Welcome, Mrs. Nhung.
Congratulations to the student. And I would like they will become the good manicurist in the future. Thank you.
I hope in the future I have a little business in American manicure over here, face over here, and pedicure over here.
But I hope one day if you have time to come to see my family, and I will sing for you a good song and happy song, you know. We have a lot of fun. We sit down together, we play music, we sing. We are very happy now.
Come and sit by my side, darling. Do not hasten to beat me as you. Just remember the Red River Valley and the cowboy who loved you so true. And the cowboy who loved you so true. And the cowboy who loved you so true.
The Kitchen Sisters are Nikki Silva and Davia Nelson. They produce the stories we heard today, along with Laura Folger, Nathan Dalton, Brandy Howell, Lita Hartman, and Jay Allison. Audio mix by Jim McKee. You can hear more of their work on their podcast. Search for The Kitchen Sisters Present in your podcast app. And we've also got a link in the show notes. This Is Love is created by Lauren Spohr and me. Nadia Wilson is our senior producer. Susanna Robertson is our producer. Engineering by Russ Henry. Audio mix by Johnny Vincevens, Michael Raphael, and Rob Byers of Final V2. This Is Love is recorded in the studios of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. We're a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a collection of the best podcasts around. Follow us online. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook at This Is Love Show. I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is Love.
Radiotopia.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour. captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Why do you run? Why does anyone?
I always thought that runners loved running, and that's not the case. Most runners hate running, but they choose to do it.
In the new docuseries, Running Sucks, brought to you by Team Milk, Abby Ayers learns why women runners everywhere are driven to go the distance.
It really is about taking my power back and proving myself wrong.
Team Milk is about fueling women's performance and helping them along their marathon journeys. You can sign up now for the inaugural Every Woman's Marathon taking place in Savannah, Georgia on November 16th, 2024. Learn more and register at everywomansmarathon.com.